Your thoughts?
Go ahead. I mean, that's a big story for sure. A lot of the discussion today has been about, you know, who is this a good deal for? Is it a good deal for the Flames? Is it a good deal for TJ Brody? I think it's fair to say it's a good deal for both.
Mm.
I mean, I look at the comparables. Is Jake Muzzin a comparable? Is Jonas Brodin a comparable? I'd say they are. And both those teams, the Kings and Wild, were able to get those young defensemen who are part of their core signed for less. So I heard TJ Brody say that it was a good deal, and I think it is. And I think from the Flames' perspective, you know, I would say they overpaid a touch, but not a lot. I mean, it's a ballpark contract, and I think the point that, you know, that Brad, you know, has made, you know, multiple times today is that, you know, that the price for players that have this skill set is only going up. If you look at the National Hockey League today, you know, there are certain positions that are more replaceable than others. I mean, look at, you know, Tampa's coming in tomorrow. They're going to be without Victor Hedman for 4 to 6 weeks. How do you replace Victor Hedman? You don't. You can't replace what Victor Hedman brings to the mix. You know, the type of, you know, player that he is right now. Like, everybody has to play up the depth chart, and they won't be as good without him in the lineup. And it's the same with Calgary. I mean, you know, when you can see the bones of this organization developing and heading sort of in an upward trajectory, you know, some of the players that are here aren't going to be here for that, and some are. And you know, the way Brody and Giordano have developed chemistry, you know, the way that they played the early stages of this year, but not just that. I mean, they were a real good pair last year. You know, you sometimes have to make a decision, and it's like, we want him. We identify him as part of our core. And the successful teams in the game today identify the players that are going to be part of their core, and then they go out and they sign them. And whatever, sometimes it's whatever it takes to sign them. And so you know, that's my verdict, that it works for both the organization and for the player. But to think that, you know, that this is a deep discount, I would disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, it's not a deep discount. And it's funny how our lexicon has changed, because now, remember, the team just bought 3 of his UFA years, right?
Mm-hmm,
that's the new conversation. And the other one, and I asked Brad this, you know, you can go up to 8 years, so why wouldn't you take a player like this and sign him to 8 years? But I understand. I mean, that changes the dollar figure, because what's it going to be in 5 years? Then you start having, if you're going to go to 8 years, you've got to start compensating him for what he might lose out then too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, when I think about when Jerome McGinley was here,
yeah,
he kept signing 5-year contracts, and his point was always the same. This is good for the team, and it's good for me, because then you can reassess and see where you're at. So, you know, like, again, if you're in TJ Brody's shoes right now, you know, you are a guy that was, you know, 114th overall in the 2008 entry draft, and you've just, you know, hit a home run. I mean, you know, there's $23.5 million coming your way over the next 5 years. That is, you know, I'm sure that, you know, when he has a chance to digest the whole thing, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And the money's guaranteed, right? That's the way things work in the National Hockey League. So your financial security is in place, and then see where you're at. I mean, you know, he's young enough now, and you know, as Brad Treliving has mentioned a few times, there's an upside to his game that if he is a top 10 defensemen in the National Hockey League in 5 years' time, you know, then the sky will be the limit. So I think that basically most teams hope that they have to make that decision in 5 years' time. When he becomes an unrestricted free agent, if they have to ask themselves, wow, can we afford to pay $8 million for TJ Brody? If it gets to that point, that will be a good thing.
Absolutely. Eric Dehatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com, brought to you by Eastside Kia. Stories today out of Los Angeles involving defenseman Slava Voynov, and it's the NHL becoming kind of the first pro sports league in this new world post-Ray Rice, post-Adrian Peterson, and everything that's engulfed the NFL in terms of domestic abuse. A lot of kudos for Gary Bettman, but there was really no choice. I mean, this is the world we live in. The decision to suspend him indefinitely was the correct one.
Well, I would agree with that, and I would say that it's a stark contrast to how the National Hockey League dealt with the Semyon Varlamov issue a year ago, when there wasn't the sensitivity about domestic violence. The NHL took a wait and see attitude at that point, and allowed Varlamov to continue playing, and that was the charges were eventually dropped for a lack of evidence, but it was not a proactive response at that time. And as you have pointed out, the climate has changed a lot in the 12 months. And I think, you know, there's been a number of cases of domestic abuse in the National Football League, but for whatever reason, the Ray Rice one became the flashpoint. And so I think that that's what's happened. I mean, Roger Goodell, you know, the thing that, and it, you know, commissioners of major sports leagues do not want to go on national television and apologize for missing the boat on things and to backtrack the way the NFL had to backtrack. And you know, you and I both know that Gary Bettman is a smart cookie. You can read the temperature of a situation. And I think that in the, you know, in that particular case, you know, they were able to get all of the information. I mean, it was interesting that, you know, that they made the announcement of this, you know, before most people had heard about it. You know, most people learned of the incident when the NHL suspended him indefinitely. And so they were out in front of it right from the start. And I think, you know, presumably the people in the legal department were up all night looking at whatever evidence that they were able to find and correctly reading the temperature of the public right now, that, you know, that there is no appetite to excuse this and to say that the world of professional sport is isolated and insulated from everyday life. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the Los Angeles Kings are not going to have Voinoff at their disposal for a long time. I mean, I think the court date is December 1st, and so we'll see how it goes. But, you know, he is going to have to cooperate with an internal NHL investigation, and he will have his day in court. And there is the presumption of innocence in the U.S. justice system, so, you know, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt at this stage of the game. But clearly, the league felt that there was enough there to go down this path. And so, you know, we'll just now wait to see how it all plays out.
Eric, kind of it's a bad transition, but I do want to transition from that particular story to the three California teams and the start that they've had this season. All of that different off seasons. One won a cup, one seemed to self-destruct, and the other one was looking for answers. Yet here we are, early part of the season, not even 10 games in. But again, power in the West seems to be in California.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I had a better feeling about San Jose maybe than most people did, only because I thought that you know, because of all of their turmoil off the ice, you know, you had to look at two things. One, not a lot changed in terms of personnel. They, you know, Dan Boyle was you know, permitted to leave, and Brent Burns has moved back to the Blues. But really, you know, a very good San Jose team from last year basically returned intact. So, you know, whatever chemistry they had going for them, that was going to be there right from the get-go. And you always had the sense that the players didn't really like the way the off-season went, and they were just happy to get back on the ice playing. And the players are motivated. I mean, Thornton's motivated. Marlowe's motivated. Couture's motivated. Vlasic is motivated. The goaltenders are motivated. All of these people, you know, at different levels had their, you know, leadership skills or their playing skills or their conduct in the dressing room. All those things were sort of questioned and debated very publicly. And so I think that they came back as an energized and revitalized group. So, you know, I mean, I guess it could have gone the other way where they could have just all stopped playing, but I just don't see that. I think that, you know, they have a lot to prove there. You know, Los Angeles, that Stanley Cup hangover thing is generally something that most teams have to deal with. And so the fact that they haven't had to deal with it, and especially those young kids, Toffoli and Pearson, coming in and playing so well, I think that that's really helped them a little bit, because Dustin Brown is off to a slow start. Andre Kopitar is off to a slow start. Yeah. Quick has been terrific after not being very good in the opener. And so, you know, that's the strength of that organization, that, you know, that there are people in place now that can pick up the good players when they're not off to a good start. Anaheim is the one that surprises me a little bit, because I wasn't 100% sure how they would react to Teemu Selänne's retirement, to Saku Koivu's retirement. You know, they made a big production out of signing Danny Heatley so that they could find the answer on the first line. He hasn't played yet because of that groin injury. For all of that, you know, they've gotten tremendous goaltending from Anderson. Those young defensemen, Lundholm and Vatanen, look like the real deal. You know, Kessler has moved in and been a reasonably important piece early on. I think he'll just get better as he becomes more familiar there. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, the state of hockey is the state of California right now, and they don't seem to be allowing anybody to muscle in on that title right now.
But in a way, all three teams also acutely aware of it being October and when they're going to be judged, you know, which is I hate to say it, but that's what it's become in pro sports. I mean, look no further than this city and the Calgary Stampeders. Nobody really cares until November. It's going to be the same thing for these three teams.
Yeah, exactly. But the one thing that they'll all tell you, and then I've spoken to players on all of those teams, is that the West is so competitive and so tight that you cannot afford to take your foot off the gas for even a little bit of time, because six teams are going to miss, and a couple of them will be pretty good teams that, you know, presumably could make the playoffs in the East. So, you know, I think that that's been a question that's been asked of Los Angeles the last couple of years, where, you know, they have actually had a poorer regular season record than the teams like Anaheim and San Jose that have then not been able to get it done in the playoffs. So LA is very aware that, and our friend Al Morganti made the prediction that they're not going to even make the playoffs
that's
this
right.
year. I mean, you know, like, but they're aware that the competition is tight. I think they believe that they have enough to make the playoffs, but they're not taking anything for granted, and I guess that's what I'm trying to say, and it's the same for Anaheim and San Jose. You know, you can't just say, okay, we're not going to try and go out and get 116 points this year. Let's coast a little bit and save, leave more in the tank for the playoffs. Can't happen. You know, it can't happen because one or two very good teams in the West are going to miss, and, you know, certainly on the basis of the start, you know, I have to start asking questions about Colorado. You know, all of the analytics people were saying that, you know, they were ripe for a fall, and so far in the early going, that has actually been the case.
But it is the early going.
It is the early going,
right?
Yeah. And there's an awful lot of good players in Colorado that haven't hit their stride yet. So, you know, once they get going, it may turn around quickly for them.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about on Friday, slow starts or bad starts. And, you know, that's their script. To, you know, they just can't keep falling behind.
Yeah, no, exactly. The one thing that surprises me a little bit, Rob, honestly, is the Winnipeg Jets. I really thought that, you know, when all the pieces were in place there, that they might be able to bounce back. Because, you know, I don't mind their defense core. Mm-hmm. You know, two really good lines, and I thought that Pavlik would be, you know, better. It couldn't be any worse than he was last year. But I think losing Kane off the start of the season has really hindered them. And, you know, Byfuglien is just making an erratic transition to forward. And Mark Scheifele, a player that I think a lot of people thought would really have a breakout season, that could still happen. It hasn't happened yet. So when you think about their problem scoring, they should have more goals than they do right now. And watching the game, you know, they played against Calgary the other day, boy, you know, like they look like they're behind Calgary. Edmonton looks like they're behind Calgary. I mean, you know, I saw Bob Hartley's quote in the paper today, you know, don't throw us too many roses yet. Okay. But you know what? 4-2, that tough road trip and finishing off with a very convincing win in the final game in Winnipeg like that, pretty good, pretty good.
It beats the alternative.
It beats the alternative by a lot, yeah.
We will talk to you on Wednesday with the aforementioned Al Morganti for the East-West Hot Stove.
Let's really give it to him, okay?
No, we all. I mean, you got heckled real hard about the Neil Young stuff, so we've got to come up with something to get Al this week.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thanks, Eric.